The source of phenomena, as we see it, belongs to those who just cannot help being interested and intrigued by such things. It leads thought to the higher realms of life. If you grab a saucer by the tail and hang on long enough, it will take you literally out of this world, out of the little three-dimensional view of life. The saucers themselves are not the important things. They are only one form of cosmic transportation. The important thing is the higher realms of life and our desire to know them, understand them and reach them. This type of interest and desire takes one out of the zombie class and places one in the New Age category. One of these days this earth is going to belong to the New Agers. Q. Is it possible to disregard the supraphysical aspects of sources, stick to the physical? That is the way to start. Some researchers are desperately trying to stick to the physical. They are literally afraid to go any farther. But it is not enough, and it is a waste of time to try to FT higher dimensional phenomena into a three-dimensional mold. It cannot be done. Many are beginning to realize this. Q. Do you feel there is a possibility of the sources just going away so we can forget about them? H. Arno. We feel that some individuals and even governments are hoping this will happen. BR, we see no chance of that because the reasons behind their coming have not been resolved. Q. I feel that some of your statements regarding the abilities of the space beings to read our minds are utter startling, if not a bit terrifying. Have we no privacy anymore? BR, I am afraid not. Not from these beings if they wish to know anything. Both our good points and bad points are an open book to them. This applies to individuals and groups of individuals and even governments, in fact to our whole civilization. Telepathy is a norm to them. Other beings are watching this civilization, whether we like it or not. Q. Before I neglect it, can you suggest a short reading course by which one can familiarize himself with sources and their implications? BR, we understand that if we include foreign language books there are something like 100 different saucer books, and we have not been able to read all of them ourselves. Helen, what would you suggest? HR, no doubt there are many good saucer books, and people can look them over and choose what appeals to them. However, if anyone picks up an advanced saucer book, that is one dealing with the supraphysical aspects, before he reads some ABC books, it will be unfortunate. He is sure to get cosmic indigestion. One should start with a book which gives plenty of sightings in the physical realm and then progress step by step to the higher aspects. The book list at the end of our book should be helpful, and our pilgrimage story mentions some good representative books. Q. Mr. Eve, have you anything to add to this? BR, what I cannot understand is how anyone expects to become a saucer expert overnight. Here is a subject that is greater than all of our sciences combined, a pioneer subject of cosmic magnitude, one which may shake everything that can be shaken, and people expect to know all about it by reading a book or two. It is a tremendous study. I should also like to suggest that students broaden their viewpoint by reading books with a cosmic outlook. Something to get their minds out of a three-dimensional rut. We have also indicated a few helpful books of this nature in our book list, but there are many others. Q. Reeve, here is another question for you. What do you consider your biggest thrill on your saucer pilgrimage? HR, our pilgrimage was one exciting thrill after another. Meeting so many wonderful people interested in saucers everywhere we went was itself a thrill. Talking to some of them through Mexican interpreters was a thrill. The night we spent on saucer location and saw what we thought to be saucers from our perch on the rickety fence was a thrill until we found the saucers were just fireflies. I think one of the most exciting times was in Mexico when my husband was lecturing to a group of Mexicans and asked the question as to whether anybody in the audience had seen a spaceman, and Salvador Villanueva Medina raised his hand. That was one for the book and I shall never forget it. Q. Mr. Eve, will you tell us your biggest thrill on the pilgrimage? BR, well, as Helen just said, there were a lot of thrills. Seeing our first great spaceship near 29 Palms, California, was a tremendous thrill. Talking privately to those who had outstanding saucer experiences was a thrill. reading OSC messages was also thrilling. But I believe the greatest thrill of all for me came in San Diego when, with the help of Mark Probert, we talked to his inner circle. For the first time on our entire pilgrimage, I felt that we personally had made a contact with advanced intelligences who could give us worthwhile information from a cosmic viewpoint. We even discussed technical matters on a cosmic basis, and as an engineer I somehow felt that these answers were in the groove, as we say. If others feel differently, that is their privilege. Thank you. Now another question. Do you feel that some of the OSC efforts to contact space beings savor of spiritualism or spiritism? That is a good question, and I think we must face such things squarely. It seems to me it depends on what we mean by these terms. To some people, these terms conjure up visions of darkened rooms and eerie noises and frightening phenomena. Someone inquires if Aunt Emma or Little Johnny are well and happy in the great beyond, and are invariably assured that they are. As we see it, some of these things are just fakes designed to fleece the gullible. Others are based on some degree of sensitivity on the part of the operator, or medium. The whole picture generally is of a low-grade activity pitched to personal problems and sometimes doubtful motives. Such things naturally have little scientific interest and no cosmic interest, and they could be completely ignored if it were not for one thing. Some of these activities do point to an important principle, that of cosmic communication by what is called mediumship. In this day and age when man is seriously endeavoring to explore outer space, how can we afford to overlook any principle of communication with those living in other dimensions of life? The space beings assure us that no instrument is better than the human body, when properly conditioned, for OSC outer space communication. None of us condemn the principle of the telephone merely because telephones can be used for low-grade activities. Over a telephone may go debased messages or messages of the sublimest import. The same applies to a sensitive human body when used as a cosmic telephone. We must stop fearing and sneering at principles we do not understand. We must cherish them and develop them scientifically. What we need is a great expansion in our scientific study of parapsychology and similar subjects. To us, the scientific attitude is the correct attitude. Mrs. Reeve, what is the greatest thing you learned on your trip? I believe the greatest thing I learned is to keep open-minded and always ready to listen. We have seen many people who find some little part of truth, and then proclaim, "This is it. This is life. This is truth." Like the woman who said, "Don't bother to give me the facts. My mind is made up." Cosmic truth is pouring into our earth as never before, but only those who will listen will learn. Now, Miss Reeve, it is your turn on this one. What was the greatest thing you learned on the pilgrimage? 278. That life in outer space exists in octaves of frequencies, that outer space is not empty, but is filled with life, form, color, activities, yes, and even with great unseen civilizations and cultures, worlds without end. These are not nebulous, but real, solid, factual and glorious to those with the necessary tunability. The entrance to these worlds is not through distance in light years, but via the frequency elevator, by the conversion of the frequency and mode of vibration of energy. That is wonderful, but is it just theory? It is not new knowledge. It is lost knowledge coming back to us. I know as an engineer that many people have to have theories. It is the only way that some can learn. I have no objection to others calling it a theory. As for me, it is an important phase of cosmic truth. Mrs. Reeve, what surprised you most on your pilgrimage? Here in this generation we have been privileged to glimpse the opening of the doors of human knowledge to interplanetary life, interplanetary governments and cosmic life itself. And yet most of us do not realize what is happening, nor do we appreciate it or welcome it. This is indeed surprising. Miss Reeve, how about you? I think what surprised us most, after we began to get the picture of the meaning of the spaceships and outer space, was the strange manner in which this stupendous thing was becoming known. It was not coming in the front door. It was leaking into human awareness, coming in by the back door. This great knowledge was coming to humanity almost through what we might term a saucer underground, composed of a relatively small band of pioneers, sturdy independent thinkers who refused to be dismayed by officialdom or stopped by the scorn and ridicule of the majority. People still celebrate and honor Columbus' discovery of America and build monuments to him. Yet the discovery of a new continent was as nothing compared to the recent realization by the sorcerers that other planets are inhabited and that what we consider empty space itself teems with life of far greater progress and intelligence than we have. And yet here on Earth this knowledge has to face the hostility and scorn of those in high places. It has to come through the humble, little people who are not afraid. How dead can we become in our materialistic and three-dimensional ignorance? That was what surprised me most. Q now, why are the space beings coming to Earth at this time? HR, you realize that that is the $64 billion question. Q, yes, I know it is. That is why I have saved it until about the last. BR, could we please correct the question a bit? Q, yes, certainly. BR, saucer research indicates that the space beings have been coming to Earth through countless ages. But now they are here, in the upper atmosphere of our Earth, in large quantities, literally millions of them. It seems to us the real question then is, why are they here in such great numbers at the present time? Q, thank you. Then let us rephrase the question. Why are the space beings coming to Earth in such great numbers at the present time? Seriously, we feel your readers will be especially interested in this question and your answer. BR, that is just the trouble. Everyone wants the answer. So do we. But after all of our efforts, all of our researching, we are not sure we have the forthright answer, the kind of absolute answer that most people want. 280. Q, but you must have a lot of ideas on the subject. Can you give us the benefit of those? BR, yes, certainly. But we have no absolute answer. It is essential to make that clear to start with. In fact, we made a collection of over a dozen different answers from all sources. We have divided them, for the sake of clarity, into four groups. Here they are. A. Contributory reasons. 1. Men's efforts to communicate with outer space by radio and radar signals brought the spaceships to investigate the Earth and to see what it was all about. 2. The space people have come on missions of scientific exploration and to record the cosmic history of this civilization. 3. They have come to reveal themselves to us gradually and to awaken us to the fact that outer space is inhabited. B. Atomic energy reasons. 1. Our atom bomb explosions have disturbed the beings who live in outer space. 2. Our atom bomb explosions and experiments have endangered the Earth itself and have brought the planetary guardians to prevent us from injuring the schoolroom, the Earth. They will intervene if necessary to prevent our damaging the Earth. 3. Our atom bomb explosions and experiments have endangered humanity on the Earth and therefore have brought the planetary guardians. They are standing by waiting to see if this civilization is going to commit suicide, either quickly by an atomic war or slowly by supposed safe experiments or usages. In this case, they will endeavor to rescue a remnant out of which a new peaceful civilization can be built on Earth. C. Natural events, so called. 1. This is the Aquarian Age of the Earth. This means a water age. The Earth will naturally experience great storms, rains, floods and earthquakes. The spaceships are standing by to help humanity through such critical events. D. Cosmic event or great accident. 1. We face attack by conquering beings in outer space equipped with spaceships. The planetary guardians have assembled to protect us. 2. The Earth will experience a polar flip, that is a change of the axis upon which it rotates. This will bring the polar ice caps into the temperate or tropical regions, causing great floods and changes in climate, vegetation and life. The spaceships stand by to assist us. 3. The Earth is moving into a new orbit, and during this critical change the space beings are standing by to assist us. 4. the Earth is entering a new radiation or vibratory frequency. This is due to our entire solar system reaching a new position in space and a new relationship to other great cosmic bodies and suns. This represents a cosmic upgrading for the Earth and will affect every phase of Earth life. This will be a time of great housecleaning on the Earth and the prelude to a wonderful, peaceful new age. The spaceships stand by to assist. 5. The Earth faces a very destructive cosmic radiation which will expand the core of the Earth and cause a remelting of the Earth. The spaceships stand by to counteract this and to participate in rescue missions if needed. 6. The Earth faces great cosmic dust storms. The ships stand by to counteract these and to help us. Q, that is certainly a formidable list. Have you any comments? Do you believe some of these reasons are wrong or some of them right? Or are some of them better than others? We are, yes, we do. But we do not believe we should comment on them at this time. We do not feel we have the right to influence anyone. Everyone should be free to study the matter and decide for themselves. Fair enough. But possibly you will see fit to answer this question. We note quite a variety of reasons. Do you feel that the variety of reasons given by different students tends to invalidate them? B.R. No. Most students give a combination of reasons. For example, the atomic explosions plus some form of impending natural or cosmic event. Considering the magnitude of the subject, there is a noteworthy overall agreement regarding some tremendous cosmic event in the offing which has brought the spaceships m such quantities. But there is a diversity of thought as to the exact nature of this great event. Q, when you say in the offing, does this refer to events millions of years from now, or centuries from now, or decades from now? Br, I would say decades, something within this century. QMRS. Reeve, do you feel the overall picture of the coming of the spaceships is good or bad? HRO, very good, very progressive and inspiring. She am a bit confused. Here is all this talk of cataclysms and great cosmic accidents and rescue missions on the one hand, and a marvelous golden age on the other hand. Is there not a conflict? HR, that is a good point. Our understanding is that a period of cosmic housecleaning comes first on the Earth. The destructive and non-progressive elements which now dominate the Earth will first have to be removed. Then will come the Golden Age. Are the conclusions from your pilgrimage quite definite and fixed? You started out to learn. HR, it was certainly a success to us, but we found vastly more than we were looking for. PR, we started out to get yes or no answers to certain questions about flying saucers. First and foremost, we wanted to know if it was true that they were coming to Earth. Then we wanted to know what the space people were like and why they were coming. We obtained these answers, at least to our satisfaction. But then a strange thing happened. Every time we obtained an answer to a question, we discovered that a dozen more questions popped up in its place. We began to feel like the mule with the wisp of hay always in front of him, just out of reach. It reminded us of that favorite saying of the Maharajanacha, all questions pose more questions and all answers are personal opinions, and the only sound rule and reply to life's problems is to question nothing but to face all situations with detachment. Q, now one last question. Is your pilgrimage finish, Ed? HR, no. We feel it has just begun. Our appetite for knowledge of the spaceships, the space people and outer space itself has been whetted by our trip. We want to know more. The quest for knowledge of outer space has turned into the quest for knowledge of life itself, and that never ends. End. A word about the authors. Bryant Reeve was born in Princeton, Illinois, USA. He was named Bryant because of a family relationship to the American poet William Cullen Bryant. He has lived an unusual, exciting and varied life. When a youth, he lived on the English Channel island of Guernsey for 6 months, went to school in Dresden, Germany and traveled extensively with his parents in England, France, Belgium, Holland and Germany. Returning to the United States, he attended school in Chicago, Illinois, and then the Hotchkiss School at Lakeville, Connecticut. He is a graduate mechanical engineer of both the Sheffield Scientific School of Yale University and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He was elected to the Sigma Xi Honorary Society. Always interested in travel, he spent an adventurous summer on the rugged Labrador coast, and another bicycling around England, Scotland and Wales with a friend. During World War I he served as a lieutenant and captain of engineers, going overseas with the 311th Engineers, 86th Division. Since then he has been active in his profession and has held positions of technical and executive responsibility in a number of well-known American industries. He retired in 1954, but is still actively engaged in research work. He and his wife Helen have for years been interested in metaphysical studies, and they have a large acquaintance with many individuals who have attained to advanced heights in proving metaphysical principles. They have also probed deeply into the powers of the adepts of the Far East. When the flying saucer phenomena first came to their attention, it never occurred to them that there might exist a connection between this and certain metaphysical concepts and laws with which they were familiar. As their investigation continued, however, the relationship became clearer and clearer to them, and forms a major portion of the theme of this book. The Reeves insist that saucers and outer space phenomena cannot be understood by three-dimensional thinking, but can be explained and understood as thought is expanded to metaphysical or cosmic levels. They are actively continuing their research, and they are in constant touch with their many saucer friends by correspondence. Copyright 1957, by Bryant Reeve.